You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this program is produced with support from the Local Journalism Initiative. Today's show focuses on accountability and access, two issues at the heart of public trust in Quebec. We'll begin in Sherbrooke, where Quebec's anti-corruption authorities have made criminal arrests in the long-running Faubourg Menesson housing affair. After years of legal battles and public pressure from seniors, five former administrators now face fraud charges tied to the controversial privatization of a publicly funded nonprofit housing complex. Then we'll turn to Coaticook, where the region's only frontline medical clinic is sounding the alarm about Bill 2, Quebec's proposed healthcare reform. The clinic's head physician warns the legislation could strain already fragile services and threaten access to family medicine for thousands of residents. Those two stories, back to back, coming up now. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this segment is produced with the support from the Local Journalism Initiative. Today we're covering a major development in one of Sherbrooke's most significant and closely watched housing disputes, the Faubourg Menesson affair. After more than 2 years of allegations, legal battles, and a mounting public outcry from seniors who saw their affordable housing converted into private property, Quebec's anti-corruption authorities have now made criminal arrests. Early Wednesday morning, UPAC and the Commissaire à la lutte contre la corruption announced that five former administrators of Faubourg Menesson were taken into custody. Serge Dubois, Michel Fortin, Patrick Fortin, Jocelyn Morissette, and René Saint-Amand. All five are facing charges of fraud over $5,000 in connection with what investigators allege was a scheme involving more than $19 million tied to the controversial 2022 sale and dissolution of the nonprofit housing complex. This marks a major anti-corruption action involving a Quebec housing nonprofit, and for many who have followed the story, December 10th represents a turning point. The announcement took place at 11 a.m. at the Sherbrooke Police Service headquarters. Officials confirmed that the five accused were arrested earlier that morning, then released under police undertakings. They must appear at the Sherbrooke Courthouse on December 17th to answer the charges. According to the CLCC's press release and Wednesday's briefing, the alleged fraud occurred between June 1st, 2018 and June 1st, 2022. Spanning the controversial internal restructuring of the nonprofit, the deletion of its asset protection clauses, the private sale of the complex, and the rapid dissolution of the organization. But the financial dimension of the case is even broader. As part of Tuesday and Wednesday's coordinated operation, investigators froze 57 bank and investment accounts, 4 properties, and 3 vehicles, all believed to be connected to the proceeds of the Faubourg Menesson transaction. Here is Maxime Tremblay, Deputy Director of Intelligence and Investigations at UPAC CLCC, announcing the arrests.
Pour avoir une idée permanente anti-corruption. Nous commençons aujourd'hui à avoir procédé à l'arrestation de 5 individus. Michel Fortin, Patrick Fortin, Jocelyn Morissette et René Saint-Amand sont tous accusés de fraude d'une valeur de plus de 5 000 $.
He says investigators have now carried out the arrests of the individuals involved, including Michel Fortin, Patrick Fortin, Jocelyn Morissette and René Saint-Amand, all of whom are being charged with fraud over $5,000. UPAC confirmed that the investigation began in April 2022 after receiving a citizen complaint. That timing coincides closely with when tenants first learned their complex had been sold. Tremblay explained that the length of the investigation was unavoidable due to the complexity of tracing financial transactions, analyzing corporate documents, and obtaining court-ordered banking information. He explains that an economic crime case involving significant sums requires analyzing a large number of documents. Banking orders take time, and investigators must wait for institutions to provide records, all of which naturally extends the investigation. To understand the weight of Wednesday's arrests, it's important to revisit the larger story. Faubourg Minassin is a housing complex of more than 160 units, built in the 1980s with over $8 million in public funding through the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation. For decades, it provided affordable housing for seniors and low-income residents. But in 2022, the nonprofit's administrators changed the organization's name, removed the clause requiring its assets to remain within the nonprofit sector, sold the complex privately for $18.25 million, dissolved the nonprofit, and published the dissolution notice only in Le Devoir. Tenants learned of the sale only after it was complete. Following the sale, many residents lost federal rent subsidies, faced rent increases of more than 7%, and described significant emotional and financial strain. One resident publicly called the situation violence against seniors. Civil courts later ruled that the dissolution was illegal and reinstated the nonprofit, a decision upheld by the Quebec Court of Appeal, which described the administrator's legal arguments as narrow and erroneous. Advocates called the ruling a turning point and seismic. The criminal charges announced this week now open up a new chapter. A striking moment in the press conference came when Tremblay described the financial seizure operation.
Effectivement, aujourd'hui, depuis hier, on a 57 comptes de banque qui ont été bloqués avec des ordonnances de blocage. Fait que c'est quand même, tu sais, on parle de longueur d'enquête, bloquer 57 comptes de banque. Moi, personnellement, j'ai quand même une certaine expérience au niveau des enquêtes. Ça fait plusieurs années que j'en fais, puis j'ai rarement vu ça.
Since Tuesday, he says, 57 bank accounts have been frozen under blocking orders. In his experience, it is rare to see an operation of this scale. Investigators work tirelessly to locate each of those accounts and secure them. Tremblay noted that several million dollars are expected to be recovered, pending confirmation from financial institutions. Tremblay also highlighted that about 50 police personnel were involved in Wednesday's arrests and seizure operations, including strong support from the Sherbrooke Police Service, which hosted the command post for the day. This was a carefully synchronized operation requiring analysts, investigators, technical specialists, and prosecutorial collaboration with the Directeur des Poursuites Criminelles et Pénales. The message was unmistakable. When public funds and vulnerable populations are involved, the province takes these cases seriously. The arrests carry wide-ranging implications. For tenants, the charges validate years of organization, fundraising, and legal action by seniors who refuse to accept the privatization of their publicly supported housing. For housing policy, this case may influence reforms around nonprofit governance, dissolution procedures, and the protection of public assets. For the nonprofit sector, legal experts say it could become a benchmark now for how Quebec handles breaches of fiduciary duty in publicly funded organizations. For the accused, the five former administrators now move into the criminal process, beginning with their December 17th court appearance. This story is far from over. Civil cases continue, tenant groups remain active, and UPAC's investigation has now progressed to the prosecution stage. But December 10th, 2025 will be remembered as the day the criminal justice system formally entered the Faubourg Minassin story, a story about housing, public trust, seniors' rights, and the governance of nonprofit organizations built with public funds. We'll continue to follow developments on CGMQ and through the pulse of the Eastern Townships. You've been listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. This segment was produced with support from the Local Journalism Initiative. Stay tuned for more local reporting after the break. You're listening to CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this is your Local Journalism Initiative report. Coaticook's only frontline medical clinic is raising serious concerns about Quebec's proposed Bill 2. In an interview, Dr. Jacinthe Roy, the head physician of the GMF des Frontières, says the reform could strain staff, reduce access to care, and even jeopardize the long-term stability of the clinic that serves nearly 20,000 residents. Roy met with Coaticook Council twice in recent months, warning that the region is uniquely vulnerable if primary care capacity is weakened. She says the risks include shorter consultations, heavier administrative burdens, and the possibility of doctors leaving the profession or the province. Here's that story.
I'm Dr. Jacqueline Croix. I'm the responsible doctor for the medical clinic of Quatcook. So I'm like the head doctor. And also I work at the clinic since 2019. And I'm responsible also for the long-term care in Quatcook.
You visited two recent Quatcook council meetings. Tell me why you're visiting those meetings and what your problems are with Bill 2.
So it's for the medical clinic of Quatcook, we're really active saying no to Bill number 2 since the beginning of the conflict, even back in the spring. We met with the I don't know what's the name in English of that, or the recruitment of all the NHC I don't know if you say Eastern Townships, is it the equivalent? So we talked about the project bill 106 at that time to express our concerns about that. After, during the summer, we were calmer because of the L'Assemblée Nationale was out of office, if I could say. But then when it started again in this autumn, so we saw that Bill number 2 was imposed, and we were opposed to that. So we used our social media to say that we didn't think it was a good bill to help the care to our population. We did a bunch of interviews in Quatcook or in Sherbrooke for explaining how we feel about all this, and what we see is dangerous with Bill 2, and then we organized also, I don't know if you use the term in English, the 5 to 7 at the Upstation, a brewery in Quatcook, to talk about Bill 2 with our population, so people were welcome at the brewery to ask us a question about Bill 2, because it's quite complicated and we don't have the time in the media or when we see our patients in consultation to explain all of Bill 2. So it was a good opportunity. And then I went to the Council of Quatcook last month, and then this month, because we were really unsatisfied on how the negotiation was going for Bill 2. We were afraid nothing was going to change before the 1st of January, and that we would be stuck with Bill 2. And we were afraid it might fragilize our clinic, and that it could lead to a closure because of people quitting the clinic to go to retire early, to change vocation, or go to other province. So it was important for us to that people hear that message, that our town hear the message to support us in that. And all along, we've seen a lot of support from our town, from Quatcook, but also from the NRC of Quatcook in our démarche, in all what we did about this to contest, what would be the word to go against, if we can say, Bill number 2. Our mayor, Mr. Simon Mador, also expressed on Sherbrooke Radio that he was supporting our clinic. It was important that we understand also the risk of Bill 2. It's to give all of the population, but also the town, some updates about this the Bill 2 situation and the risks for our clinic. And yeah, that was why I went there. And also we were really pleased with the reception from town, because right after the town hall, the mayor, Mr. Nadal, talked to me, and we organized only like the next day a meeting with him and then actually to talk about the situation and see if we can add some solutions to enforce our services in the region and be sure that we're there for a long time and have a successful future. And so, yeah, also this morning you might have heard too that Bill 2 was postponed, and there was the family doctors, they conclude an arrangement, I don't know the term in English, with the government, and that we're going to have the detail tomorrow.
What are one or two specific problems that Bill 2 causes your clinic?
So the first thing is that we don't see in the bill how we would be able to have a better access to care, because in Bill 2, what we asked is to see more people with not more professionals, not more doctors, not more resources. So for us, if we need to see more people with nothing more to support those care, for us, it would mean that we have less time with each patient. And now people live longer. They have more advanced pathologies that affect them. So there is a lot of new information that we can know with our investigations, and this takes time to take good care of people. So we see the risk to lower the quality of care, which is not in our value, but also everything in Bill 2 that means that we're going to have more administrative responsibilities because of the remuneration for the money the doctors will get will have to transit by the clinic, and as the head of the clinic, I'm going to have to take the money and separate it in all the doctors, and I don't think it's a good use of my expertise as a doctor to do that. Also, I see that there's risk of a conflict between the doctors about that. And all the other cause of surveillance and access to the files of patients that are against our values of confidentiality, but also that it's going to be the government who decide if someone is sick or not with the color sense that we could call them, so that doesn't make sense for us. So.
I'm guessing your clinic isn't unique and that doctors across the province share your concerns.
Totally. But the difference maybe that it's not unique to Quantico, but right now we're the only first-line medical clinic in Quantico for all the NSAs, for the almost 20,000 people that live there. So if our clinic is at risk, is in peril because of Bill 2, and if we go to a closure, well, there won't be enough service. I mean, it's not a good thing for a town to have a good prosperity to not have this access of care. In a year, our clinic alone, we give 3,000 appointments to our patients of our region. So it would be really bad for a community to lose that.
The mayor says he gives you his support. What would you like to see him do?
Mm-hmm. That's a little bit the problem, so, because that's not of their jurisdiction to those kinds of bills. So I think our community and also the the town, the mayor, they did some pressure on our deputy, Madame Vendetta Baez, to tell her the risk or their concerns about Bill 2 and the perennity of our clinic, but that's kind of the max about this that they can do. We know that they're willing to sit down with us to think of ways we can improve our services and facilitate the trajectories, but they're still limited on what they could do because that's a provincial bill.
The family doctors have temporarily postponed Bill 2. What more do you think could be done?
I really hope that postponing the application of Bill 2 will give time to our federation and the government to really work out a solution that would be positive for patients. And I hope the government is really motivated or really sincere in their and the desire to collaborate, because in the last months we had a lot of situations where we could see that the collaboration was really difficult with the side of the government. So yeah, we really hope that the priorities will be the patients on both sides. That's what we want as family doctors to. So I'm eager to see if it's going to work. Otherwise, what I wish will be sure that it's my opinion personal. I'm not the federation, not every doctor, but I think there is a lot of ways that we could improve patient care in our province. But I think it's an interesting way to see the capitation. So not be only going for the act. I think there's a way to rethink the model, but I think it should be a capitation that is individual to not have it like collective and bring conflicts among the doctors and like more administrative responsibilities as the head of the clinic for me. Also, I think that we really should go at the beginning with a professional order. I don't know if it's the right term, but the Collège des Médecins du Québec and the other association of other professionals to really rethink what we want for the care. So it's important that if we go somewhere where we need more budget, more productivity, that family doctors are still protected if there is that right now the exigence of our college of doctors of Quebec are really severe, and we have a lot of responsibility about the care of the patient, which is okay, it's a reality, but that makes us sometimes a little bit less productive. So can we go and think about the no fault system that makes proof in other parts of the world that it's still good for the patients, but it helps the productivity of the doctors while still giving a good service. And also we need to potentialize every other professional, health professionals and what they can do, but also we need to recruit more health professionals to go in the clinic, because it really works well, the multidisciplinary collaboration. But if we want to take in charge more people, we need more professionals to help us with that, because right now there is a lot of health services that are private, so not anybody can have access to that. And so it caused a little bit of congestion for the care.
That was Dr. Jacinthe Roy of the GMF des Frontières in Coaticook. She says the clinic remains hopeful that ongoing negotiations will lead to changes to Bill 2 that protect access to family medicine in the region. You can find the full story along with all your Eastern Townships news at cgmqnews.com. For CGMQ 88.9 FM, I'm William Crooks, and this is the Pulse of the Eastern Townships. Those were two stories with very different contexts, but a common theme: how public decisions affect vulnerable people on the ground. Whether it's seniors fighting to protect affordable housing or patients worried about access to care close to home. Both stories remain ongoing, and we'll continue following developments closely here on CGMQ and through the Pulse of the Eastern Townships. You can listen to these full reports and find more local journalism from across the region at cgmqnews.com. It's the Christmas season, so to round off the show, here is Stiel, 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 performed by local ensemble Eight Misbehavin'. That was Stiel, 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 performed by the local group Eight Misbehavin' at La Belle Chapelle on December 7th in Sherbrooke. For CGMQ 88.9 FM, I'm William Crooks, and this is the Pulse of the Eastern Townships. Merry Christmas, and keep that finger on the pulse.